It's time to check out IdeaJam, the Web 2.0 idea management application for Lotus Notes and Domino that runs on Domino 6, 5, 7, and 8, is available as a simple and easy-to-install application. For more information, head over to elguji.com. That's ELGUJI.com. Get your idea on with the software that may just earn you that well-deserved vacation. Let them know you learned about IdeaJam on the Taking Notes podcast. It's time for the Taking Notes podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 84 of the Taking Notes podcast for Friday, August 1st. 2008. My name is Bruce Elgort, and I am here with
Julian Foundations Robichaud.
And today, along with Sean Burgess and Caleb Barlow from IBM, what did we talk about, Julian?
We talked about Lotus Foundations, of course. And that was the product that was announced at Lotusphere this year, one of the products. And it does everything. It's what, this appliance that has everything.
Everything?
it's got email. It's got Domino in the back end. It's got backup recovery. There's a firewall. There's file sharing. There's this whole self-healing thing. So it's like it's alive.
Ooh. Hey, you know, I just thought about this. You know how you usually listen to music when you go to the dentist's office?
Yeah.
And we do talk a lot about, actually, Caleb does talk a lot about a dentist as a typical foundation customer. I suggest that they take this podcast and play it for the dentist while you listen to something else while the dentist is doing dental work on you.
Oh, good thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they could have pictures of us and everything,
yeah,
you think?
Actually, we should contact the Muzak company that supplies music to dental offices and start playing this podcast.
You know, maybe that's one of the features of the foundation server. You never know.
It might be, and we may have talked about it. Then again, we may not have.
Yeah.
So,
no,
well,
and you know, just all kidding aside, foundations is this little server box that does everything for a small business. And so, you know, that's your intro to the whole podcast because, you know, it's like taking an office that has essentially just a bunch of PCs and not a whole lot else, and you can stick this foundation server in and they've got everything.
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 So have a listen to it. I don't know the exact time, but I think it's probably, I don't know, 40, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Enjoy. And I'd like to thank all the people who submitted some questions. You know, we don't identify you as a question contributor within the podcast, but we do use your questions to formulate, you know, the format of the show and stuff like that. So, you know, Graham Dodge is a Lotus blogger out there who's been posting a lot about Lotus Foundation. So I want you to check out his blog. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. And Sean Burgess, who also joined us on the show today, he's also maintaining a blog, and I don't recall the URL, about, you know, Foundation's goodness. So, again, I got a little off topic, but, again, thanks to those people who asked those questions on the blog. And Caleb will be monitoring the TakingNotesPodcast.com site. So if you have any questions for Caleb, put them down as a comment on the blog posting, and that's about it.
Let's listen to the podcast.
Shall we? I mean, we shall.
Okay, here we are on yet another podcast, and this is Julian Robichaud speaking, and I am here, as always, with Bruce Elgort. Hello, Bruce.
Hey, Julian, how are you today?
I am quite good, thank you. Sean Burgess is also on the line with us. Sean is our guest interviewer today on the podcast. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Julian.
And the really important person in the room today is Caleb Barlow, and he is the integration executive for the acquisition of Net Integration Technologies. Caleb, hello. Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me on your show.
Okay, well, the big topic today is Lotus Foundations. We need to find out from Caleb what Lotus Foundations is. So I'm going to start with the first question, which should be an easy one for you. If we need to give like maybe a 30-second elevator pitch about Lotus Foundations to a small business, what do I tell that small business owner what Lotus Foundations is? How do I explain it? Who are your customers?
So what's really fascinating about Lotus Foundations, particularly if we think about, you know, IBM products over the last, you know, number of decades, is Foundations is actually targeted at the very small business, which could be a dentist, a doctor's office, your local accountant, your local home builder. And I think the thing we're really excited about this is that, you know, we haven't sold anything to this space other than, you know, maybe the ThinkPad since we were making typewriters and meat grinders. And this is a full solution that provides all of the essential services that a small business needs, but without an IT department on site. So things like antivirus, anti-spam, email, file server, print server, mail server, are all of the things that Lotus Foundations encompasses.
All right. You know, just a bit of history for everyone. Lotus Foundations was announced at Lotusphere 2008 by Mike Rodin, right? That's when the product was first announced to the public. And essentially, what we're seeing now is Lotus Foundation Start was actually a product of another company, right, Caleb?
Yes. So Net Integration Technologies, which is a Markham, Canada-based company, was acquired by IBM actually about 2 days before the announcement at Lotusphere. And we have since, you know, as we brought that into IBM, we have branded that product line, Lotus Foundations, which is exactly what Mike announced on stage at Lotusphere. And, you know, the other thing that Mike hinted to in that announcement is our first offering is called Lotus Foundation Start, which is what's available today. But Mike also hinted that, you know, and frankly, the reason for using the term foundations is that we see this very much, no pun intended, as the foundation of future appliance-based offerings for a variety of different software and hardware appliances.
Caleb, this is Sean, and I know that we have, as a Notes developer, we've looked at the small business space as being something that's relatively untapped. Is this foundation server something that me as a Notes business partner, Notes developer, can use to, you know, build applications for the small business area, or is it simply mail?
So that's a great question, Sean. And I think there's a couple of things that Foundation Start does. So the first thing is that it's a boundary device in that it's going to be the firewall inside of a small business and provide, you know, that base level set of essential services. And you know, those essential services are obviously things like, you know, backup and your basic firewall management, antivirus, anti-spam, and things like that. But on top of that, it also provides a virtual server environment on which you can add any number of Linux-based applications, one of which, of course, is Notes Domino. And I think the real opportunity this provides for a Domino partner such as yourself, whether you're a ISV or an SI, is the ability to reach into a greenfield market where, frankly, you probably couldn't get before because you needed to have a Domino admin on site or in some way available or accessible to manage and maintain that server. Lotus Foundation Start includes Domino, and it operates it in such a way that you truly don't need a Domino admin on site. So, yes, you can go deploy Domino applications on top of this. It's absolutely more than just mail. And I think the thing that's really exciting about this for us is that because you don't need an admin, you can bring the enterprise capability down into a lot of smaller businesses. I mean, you know, take a dentist's office, for example. You know, my dentist has digital x-rays and, you know, a whole series of servers, and there's workstations in every patient area. And, you know, if you think about that infrastructure, somebody's got to manage that. There's no less of a need for enterprise scale applications. And, you know, oftentimes people don't want an enterprise application just shoved in a smaller box, maybe with a lower price point. They have the same needs and capabilities. They just don't have the ability to afford the admin. And because Foundation Start is an autonomic device where you don't have to have a Domino admin on site, it really presents a whole new opportunity for Domino partners such as yourself.
And I guess when you talk about greenfield installations, you mean just someone who essentially has nothing to start out with. Is that how does that tie in with the concept of this being kind of an appliance?
Well, I mean two things by that. So one is I certainly mean net new customers that have nothing today. But I also mean customers that may have existing solutions. And, you know, to be very transparent, odds are they're not from IBM. You know, the incumbents in this space, we've never really had software solutions that could certainly dip down into, you know, a company that's got 5 to 50 employees, for example. I mean, it just wasn't a space we played. So this opens up a greenfield opportunity for certainly for IBM, for our VADs, VARs, and systems integrators that are have been working with us for some time. We haven't had a lot of solutions for them to sell this low in the market. And this gives them a whole new opportunity. And the target space is around is 0 to 500.
All right. You know, a couple of things. You know, we do have some more questions regarding Domino, but I'm going to skip around here to the out-of-the-box experience with foundations. You know, what would I be looking at when I unpack, say, a Mach 1 or a Mach 2 or the Micro? You know, I plug it in, what happens next?
The thing is to talk about, you know, what's different on these things. So the first thing is this isn't a server. This is an appliance. So there's no monitor, there's no keyboard, and you don't, at least in the Mark 1 and Mark 2, you don't ever need one. You turn these things on, and we've done work to optimize the Linux kernel on which this whole thing is built so that the entire solution fits into an 80 megabyte shell. And by having that so small, there's a bunch of very neat things we can do. So the first thing is that we can actually burn it into a chipset in the device. So one of the things you notice with our hardware is there's no CD drive, there's no DVD drive. You literally plug it in and turn it on, and it starts to boot. Now, it's booting off of this microcode burned into a chipset. You know, you haven't even formatted drives or anything like that yet. Now, as this thing boots up, you know, one of the first things you'll do is set up an administrator ID. You'll format the drives in whatever layout you want, whether you want them mirrored or an arrayed, how you want your backup set up, etc. But the entire out-of-the-box experience, so for example, to go from a bare metal server out of the box to fully functioning Notes Domino with your antivirus, anti-spam, mail server, file server, print server, web server, set up and configured, users added, completely up and running sending mail. I've personally done it in as little as 17 minutes. We claim in our marketing materials you can do it in about 30, and it's absolutely possible. So this experience is not only fast, but it's simple because it's a known environment in which we're laying this stuff down. And we're actually not doing an install of the operating system. And what I mean by that is, you know, with most competitive solutions in this space, you know, you walk in with a bag full of CDs or DVDs, and, you know, we've all had the experience of, you know, flipping them out, going through the install, asking lots of questions, hoping you don't put in the wrong answer and have to restart and have to start over. In this case, the entire thing is we just burn the whole thing into the chipset and then lay that down on top of the drives and, frankly, spread the operating system around almost like a virus. We stick it everywhere so that if you, you know, blow a drive, blow a RAID array, this thing still boots. But we're also don't, and I think this is a key differentiator, we're not doing updates and fixes of this OS. You say, well, wait a second, what do you mean, Caleb? How can you not do updates and fixes? Well, what happens when there's a security patch? we actually rip and replace the thing. Well, why do we do that? Well, in a small business, if you think about the opportunities for failure, the opportunities where something could go wrong, more often than not, it's when you're doing a fix pack, you're doing an update, you're installing one of those many, many security fixes we seem to get on competitive solutions lately. In our case, literally we lay down a whole new version of the OS. We save the old one, and because it's only 80 megabytes, it takes, frankly, you know, a minute or two to do. So that's one of the biggest things you start to see out of the out-of-box experience, is you immediately realize, wait a second, this is a whole new approach to providing software and services in a small business, and it's going to make it a whole lot easier and a whole lot more reliable than the solutions that are in business today.
Wow, that, you know, that kind of sounds like my TiVo. This won't actually record
my
TV shows, will it?
Actually, I'm really glad you brought that up. That's exactly what this is analogous to. It's literally an appliance. Now, you know, your TiVo updates all the time, right?
Right.
You just don't realize it, but that thing's calling home all the time. Well, that's exactly what a foundation server does. Every 12 hours, it calls home to say, hey, is there anything I need? Is there any new software I'm entitled to? Is there anything I better do? It's just like your TiVo. And I think the out-of-the-box experience for the dentist is just like their TiVo. They're not going ever to see an admin screen. The few admin screens there are all going to be managed over the wire by their trusted business partner.
Well, what happens when this thing fills up? I mean, it's even though you've got the very small footprint for the server itself, you've got these applications on it. People are going to start putting files. What happens when you just get to a point where you need another server?
If you need another server, so first of all, you can deploy multiple foundation servers in the same company, and they will work together. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you think about the things you're setting up and configuring, particularly around user ID, password access, and things like that, the servers will absolutely work together so that if you add a user on one server, it'll add it on multiple servers. But I think one of the more compelling features is take the scenario of maybe a real estate office, where there's an office on the north side of town and an office on the west side of town. Well, the challenge today, and this is a pretty common scenario in small businesses, is that you have no connectivity between these two offices. Everything that, you know, all the files you want to send back and forth, you basically have to email or FTP. Well, what you have the ability to do with foundations is you can actually have a foundation server at each office, tie them together through a secure VPN tunnel, and they will actually bridge the network between those two locations. You can even use them and configure them to back each other up across the two sites, which is a pretty cool feature. The last thing, too, with that is you can VPN into this because, remember, it is a boundary device. So, you know, the other nice thing for a small business is they've got a secure VPN that they can go in and access files and their mail, et cetera, at their office when maybe they're at home or on the road.
Kale, this is Sean again. Just questions on the point-to-point stuff and the mail. Out of the box, what do I get for mail? I get Domino. Do I get the Notes client, or I'm simply doing webmail?
So this has been a big change since the acquisition of Net Integration Technologies. So in historical NITx, these were, you know, different packages, different prices, different products. And of course, you know, largely because, frankly, they didn't, you know, own Notes and Domino. Well, we do. So we've got some exciting things we've been able to do here. So the first thing out of the box is that when you buy Foundation Start, Domino's always in there. Now, that doesn't mean you have to use Notes, but what it means is Notes is there if you want to use it. You have choice. So you can use a Notes client, you can use an Outlook client, or you can use a web client. Now, the reality behind the scenes, and again, you know, you're never going into, you know, the dentist is never going into a Domino admin screen, and frankly, neither is the partner. But Domino's behind the covers there. So Domino's always there if you choose to use it. Now, if you're just going to use this as an application platform and, you know, you have no need for mail, then you just don't need to enable Domino on that device, and it won't eat up the resources, and you've got all those resources free to run applications. So you're entitled to it. It's there if you want to use it, but you've got choice in terms of what client you use.
All right. So, you know, Sean talked about mail. The other things that come with Lotus Foundation Start are things like file management, right, Caleb?
Yeah, you have – I mean, think of this just like you'd think of, you know, frankly, a Microsoft small business server. You've got file management, you've got email, you've got a web server in there, and you can configure and use those in any way you want. There is no client per se for Foundations. Your client is your operating system, whether that's a Linux operating system, a Mac, a Windows operating system. We're going to act just like any other, you know, back-end file server, web server, mail server would act with that client and would interact with that client. The difference, however, is that because it's a known environment, because we know the user IDs and passwords, because we know the name of the server, we know where the files are, we're going to present that client with one-click installs. So we haven't just automated the process on the server of setting up Domino. We've also automated the process on the client of setting up and configuring Outlook or Lotus Notes. So, you know, if you think about a normal Notes install, and a normal Notes install isn't that complicated, but during the process you may get asked for your ID file or the name of your server or your, you know, your fully exploded Notes username. You aren't presented with any of that in a Foundation Start deployment of Notes or Outlook. It's literally you click on an icon, and the next thing you see is the welcome screen inside of Notes. Your name and address book is already there. Your ID file is already in place, and you know you've got mail in your inbox.
Hey, Bruce. Hey, Julian. Thanks a lot for having me on. This is Rob Novak talking about Collaboration University 2008. It seems crazy, but this is our 7th and 8th conference. We've been running them for 3 years. The big move this year is from Kansas City to Chicago. We're running CU in Chicago on September 8th through 10th, and that will be at the IBM Innovation Center. And we repeat in London, September 15th through 17th at IBM South Bank. Now, for those of you uninitiated, CU is an independent conference produced and managed entirely by IBM business partner experts with some really great help from IBM. We're focused squarely on same time and quicker with over a dozen sessions for each one. And this year, we are introducing some Connections 2.0 content. We welcome Warren Elsmore to the CU core team and are very pleased to have a CU alumni, Mitch Cohen, as a guest speaker on Connections in Chicago. So a little bit of information about what's new at CU for those of you who have been before. First off, we have some pre-conference electronic sessions. We decided that some of the sessions in the first day were too basic for those folks who were advanced. So what we decided to do is to take the most basic sessions, pre-record them, do Camtasias, flash-type animations of the presentations, and make those available in addition to filling up all of our session slots. So it's like a conference before a conference. Second new item up for bids here is the Connections 2.0 content. We have sessions, and we're actually going to be running a Connections 2.0 lab concurrently with the rest of the conference. We have, of course, all new materials. We have new products, two releases each of Connections, Quicker, and same time, a new product, same time Advanced, same time Unite. All of this we need to cover. So we have all new materials, and of course, we have a heritage of having materials that you can go home and implement and use right away. And last but not least, our post-conference workshops, which we started last year. We had a great time with that, but this year we're implementing them with a twist. We're going to make admins and developers actually work together to deploy an application and then come up with a business requirement that makes them redeploy the application. So should be a lot of fun on Wednesday, the third day of the conference in the afternoon. There's a couple of discounts that still remain. One of them's for early registration by July 31st. Another one we started this year for the CU alumni to thank them for their continued support. I mean, you'd be surprised how many people are coming back for the second and even the third year. We'll have some special recognition for those folks at the conference, too. So once again, just to recap, Collaboration University 2008 for same time and quicker with new Lotus Connections content. It's being held September 8th through 10th in Chicago, and September 15th through 17th in London. I encourage everybody to register soon and make sure you get a spot in these great post-conference workshops. Those seats are approaching capacity. So visit the website for all the information you need about CU, which is at www.collaborationuniversity.com. And that's www.collaborationuniversity.com. Thanks, and see you all in September.
Okay, I'm going to completely jump over to a different aspect of the server. One of the things that it mentions several times in the different marketing pieces for Lotus Foundation is that this is a self-healing server. And so what does that really end up mean? Meaning that it's self-healing? Does that mean that if it crashes, it comes right back up, or what?
Well, it means a variety of different things. So let's talk about, you know, what happens when a traditional server fails. So, you know, traditional server in a small business, when it fails, you know, let's pick on a dentist, right? The dentist wants to be fixing teeth, not, you know, fixing their server. And, you know, what typically happens is a call made to a business partner. The business partner drives out. They're probably getting, you know, paid on an hourly rate or something like that. And they show up with a box full of CDs or DVDs. And, you know, the first step they've got to do is diagnose, you know, what went wrong. You know, everything from the simple, is it plugged in, all the way to, you know, have you blown a disk, have you blown a RAID array, have you blown a processor, what have you. And, you know, they're going through an extensive process to diagnose first what is the problem, and then what are we going to do to resolve it? You know, is there a part we need? Do we need to reinstall something? And the experience that is happening in that small business is one of great tension. Because the dentist here just wants their server up and running. They probably don't understand what's going on in the back closet there. They see, you know, lots of CDs and DVDs flipping in and out of the machine, maybe a little sweat pouring out of the admin. But, you know, they really don't have an appreciation for what's going on until it's fixed. And, of course, you know, the other anxiety that's going on at the same time is, you know, is my data backed up? You know, I forgot to take that tape home last night. Did I really get it? You know, you've got all these anxieties that are going on. Well, when this happens with a Foundations appliance, it's a very different experience. Because the first thing that happens is, and let's say you blew a drive. Well, the first thing that happens is the server still boots. Because remember, we have the operating system not only on every drive, but we've also got it burned in the chipset. So even if the entire RAID array on that appliance is blown up, that thing's still going to boot, and it's still going to call home. So the first thing that's going to happen is the diagnosis of what is the problem is going to happen over the wire. So I haven't had to get somebody in the car because, you know, just the server's not available. Odds are I can still hit that server over the wire. And in addition to that, that server is still providing a certain set of services, albeit crippled, but the firewall is still running, the VPN is still running, antivirus and anti-spam are still running. That business is still protected. Okay, so that's the first set of things. It's very, very different in terms of its self-healing capabilities. But then the second thing that's going to happen is that vendors, the business partner here that's looking at that over the wire, again, let's say we've blown a drive, they've got a couple of options. If there's space on the system, they could just remove that broken drive from the array and have the business part and have the dentist keep right on trucking and just, you know, mail out an extra drive, and when the drive arrives, have somebody insert it and reinsert the drive into the array. Or let's say the whole array is blown. Well, one of the special features of these Foundation servers is something called an intelligent disk backup. Now, we've all had the experiences with, you know, various backup media of having to deal with, you know, rotating them, making sure we've got them in the right order. Do you have a copy offsite, things like that. And of course, if anything goes wrong along that chain of incremental backups, you're up a creek in terms of being able to restore a server. Well, the difference with the Foundation server is we've taken a large capacity hard drive and put it inside of basically an anodized aluminum cage. And this cartridge or cage, if you will, is inserted in the server, and it's, you know, certified for thousands of insertions and removals. And what this does is it dramatically simplifies backup. I like to think of it as, you know, backup that literally the dentist or the dentist assistant or secretary can do on their own. You literally walk up to the device while it's hot, yank out the drive, and take it home. And, you know, you can insert another one. We don't care what order they go in. We figure it out. But the restoral process with this is amazing. So now let's say, you know, heaven forbid, the entire dentist's office burns to the ground. But I've got this drive at home. Well, all I have to do is get a new appliance, which, you know, hopefully my local business partner has one ready to go, or we FedEx one out, insert this drive back into the system, and press a restore button on the front of the system. Now, I haven't gone to a – haven't used a keyboard, haven't gone into a monitor, haven't had to do any diagnosis. I've literally stuck the drive in and pressed a restore button. And about 10 minutes later, the server's back up and running like nothing ever happened. It's that type of technology that causes these systems to really be self-healing out in the field, because we're not only looking at what does a small business need, but we're also recognizing the fact and designing this system for the fact that there is no on-site IT support. You know, one of my favorite stories is of a business partner that, you know, got the frantic call, you know, it's like Friday afternoon just before the weekend starts, that the business is down, they can't get to the server, they don't know what's going on. The business partner VPNs into the appliance, sees that they blew a drive, and in this case, they actually had plenty of capacity on the existing drives that were working. The business partner kicked off a restore process under the existing drives, removed the bad drive from the array, and the business was back up and running in about 10 minutes. Now, think about this from the perspective of the customer. No one had to go on site. The whole thing was resolved in minutes. There was nobody sitting in the back room with the server flipping, you know, disks in and out of the server. If that experience happens once with your customer, that customer is never leaving that partner again, particularly if they've had the previous experience with existing solutions in the market. So we're trying to really provide a set of tools to these business partners so that they've got a whole different type of service that they can offer. And you know, the last thing I'll leave you with is we're finding that business partners that sell this are approaching their customers with this solution in a totally different way. You know, they're typically not approaching it as the more traditional, you know, hourly rate for services. We find they're approaching this as almost like a subscription or a warranty, because remember, we're warranting the hardware and the software. They're providing more of a flat rate for, you know, hey, anything happens on this thing over the next year, we've got you covered. And our business partners really like that type of solution because it certainly provides a big value add for the customers.
Along those lines, for the partners, I noticed you talked about Microsoft and SBS as being the main players currently in there. How do you want to differentiate foundations with that? And will we expect to see some type of marketing in the near future with foundations versus SBS?
Absolutely. So, you know, the first thing I'll tell you just on a personal note, I mean, we're often competing with the folks in Redmond, and I'm having a lot of fun with this because we're not going into this market with a, you know, me too offering that's, you know, another server built in a similar way. We're going after a traditional server with an appliance run on Linux. So, you know, it's kind of like going into a knife fight with a machine gun. And so we're having a lot of fun with that. And I think the biggest differences here, first and foremost, is it's an appliance. So it's a hardware and software bundle. Well, granted, you can buy it software only, but you can certainly buy it as a full appliance. That's all brought to you by a single company, completely warrantied. And we know and, you know, warranty that the whole thing works together. The second thing is that it's built on top of Linux. So we're building this on top of a highly reliable, highly secure environment. And we've even spent time working with the Linux distribution partner to highly optimize that environment for a small business. So, you know, we're not throwing all kinds of extra stuff in there that is not needed in this small business so we can keep that environment highly optimized. And then the third thing is, you know, when you think about an operating system that operates in an environment where it's only 80 megabytes in size, the flexibility that gives us when it's time to fix it, fix packet, update it, I mean, literally, we just say, hey, download it, replace it. These servers call home every 12 hours, so they know if there's a new version available. all the business partner has to do is literally in their admin client, there's a list of the versions that are available and the software that's available and entitled to run on that appliance. One click, and that will go out, grab that software, install it, configure it, and they're done. You certainly can't do that with alternative solutions. To your question about will we see us position this front and center in the battle with Microsoft SBS, absolutely. So look at it this way. Before we acquired Nitix, we had no solutions in this space. This was an environment in which we were not competing with Microsoft. We just weren't in this market. So you've seen us ratchet up the competitive nature here, first with Notes and Domino, then by adding Symphony. So the small business can have an office productivity environment and they don't have to buy Microsoft Office. And now we're going after the small business server environment, and we're doing it in a very different way.
Okay, so we're currently going after that with Lotus Foundation Start. Now, in the grand tradition of kind of IBM naming schemes, Lotus Foundation Start kind of implies to me there's going to be other Lotus Foundations versions. Are there more versions of Foundations on the way?
Yes, there are. So, one of the things that Mike hinted at Lotus here that we are working on now is a communication server. I'm not at liberty to give you the full line of things that we've got in the shop, but we are aggressively working on a whole line of servers that will be built on top of this. And we're also hoping to see ISVs embrace this platform for the delivery of Domino or Linux applications to build their own appliances. So you'll also see this technology appear in an OEM fashion directly from business partners. Whether they decide to just provide an application that you can run on top of a Start server, or whether they actually OEM our technology and deliver it as their own appliance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, couple things. I incorrectly named the Mark One and the Mark Two earlier as Mach One and Mach Two, so I apologize for that. Couple other things, Caleb. Can the Foundation Start software be purchased separately from the hardware?
Yes, it can. So this is can either be a software or a hardware appliance. I will tell you the majority of our sales include hardware. And I think that the reason for that is just it's a fully integrated solution. They get the intelligent disk backup drive and cartridges. And they also get an appliance in that it's completely headless. So the Mark I and Mark II servers have a LCD display, which essentially gives you system status, but the most important thing it does is read you the IP address of the device, which you obviously need to have someone remotely connect to it. The other thing to mention on hardware is that we will be releasing in the not-too-distant future hardware with the IBM branding on it. As we work with our counterparts in IBM Systems and Technology Group, we're working on what I think will be some very exciting solutions there.
Mm-hmm. And you said earlier, first of all, the version of Domino that comes with Foundation Start would be 8.01. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So when a new version, say 8.5, comes out and it gets foundationized or whatever we want to call it, the system would simply download that installation package somewhere on the server, and when I'm ready to deploy it, I hit a link on the administrative web page, and it just installs?
Quite literally. What would typically happen in an environment like that is the business partner working with the customer would make a decision on when they were ready to upgrade, like you would, frankly, in any customer environment. And when they were ready, the business partner would download the software. They would place it in an auto-install directory on the server. And then what happens is that then immediately appears available in the Foundation's admin client as something that's available for install. And it's literally one click, and then it just happens.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I think the thing that's most compelling for folks that have been in the Domino space for some time is to actually see a Domino server set up, configured, and running without ever touching an ID file, a name and address book, or a domino happiness screen.
Yeah, no, I actually last night Sean and I went through, you know, some of the screens and everything, and it is truly, you know, something like we haven't seen before. Maybe those people out there who've experienced the Nitix appliances in the past have seen this, but you know, in the Lotus world, this is new. It's different, and like you said, it does offer some opportunities for ISVs to create these software appliances for their applications, and I think it's kind of cool. Just a couple other things before we wrap up. I think we spoke of file sharing, firewall, antivirus. So this the antivirus component, that's at the Linux level.
So what we're doing with antivirus is we provide antivirus on which you can run on your desktop workstations or a antivirus solution on the inbound mail coming in. So basically what we have, without going too deep into the technical details, is the equivalent of an MTA where mail is gathered, we run an antivirus anti-spam check on it, and then if it passes that, we deposit it into Nodes. You know, the other thing I want to mention, actually, going back to your earlier question when you had asked me about, you know, what version of Nodes this is, one thing I want to be really clear on is, you know, oftentimes with solutions in the mid-market, you know, folks are used to seeing vendors, you know, take an enterprise-scale solution like Domino, slim it down, remove some features and capabilities, change the licensing, et cetera, and then, you know, stuff it in a small box and say, hey, you know, here it is for small business. And frankly, we've been guilty of that a few times as well. The difference in this case is, you know, this is Domino. It's the whole thing. So there's, you know, this isn't a slimmed down, highly modified or changed version of Domino. This is, you know, regular Domino as you know it and love it, just with an autonomic engine controlling it.
All right, Julian, do we have any further questions for Caleb at this point?
No, I mean, on the one hand, I think we could go on for another 2 hours because there are so many little bits and pieces and aspects to the whole product. Because there are just so many aspects. But no, I think that's good. That's a great start. And
no,
frankly,
no pun intended.
No pun intended. Of course. Now, if a business partner is really interested in foundations and wants to play around with it, what do they do?
So the fastest way they can get something is to go to lotusfoundations.com, and from there they can either fill out a web form, or there's a number there that they can call and go directly to one of our account managers and learn some more about the product. We for business partners, we can certainly provide them with we not only have the ability for them to play with this, but they can buy a not-for-retail server at a rather substantial discount if they want to play with this and see about building environment around it. The other thing for Domino partners and Heritage Domino partners that may be interested in this, stay tuned over the coming weeks. We're going to have some programs we'll be announcing specifically for Domino partners to get enabled with this, and in particular Domino ISVs to put their applications on it. We have some tooling we'll be talking about and some programs we'll be talking about to accelerate those efforts.
Excellent. I know a couple ISVs on this podcast who would be interested in learning about that. So good stuff.
Yeah, so if you have a credit card after the call here, I'll say yes, sir.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask to do some dental work on my teeth. So Caleb, do you have this fear of dentists?
Well, you know, the funny thing is one of the challenges that with a product like this and that I have to instill in my team on a regular basis and, you know, frankly, everyone that we deal with is that we have purposefully designed this product for a small business. And larger businesses that want to use it, it's just a matter of scale. So, you know, we have a lot of large businesses that look at this product, particularly for remote office locations. And, you know, businesses of several hundred employees are still very interested in this. But we've spent an awful lot of time focusing on designing for small business. So we actually have a whole set of characters that we use when we design software. And one of the foremost of those is a character called Dr. Durgin, who's a dentist. So my team hears me talk constantly about, you know, what's Dr. Durgin, this fictitious dentist, going to think of this thing, and is this feature or capability going to work for Dr. Durgin?
That's funny. Anytime I go to the dentist is always asking me computer questions, so it's kind of
well,
weird.
Well, you know, next time you go to the dentist, I'm expecting you to sell a server for me.
I do have his credit card available right here. No.
There you go.
All right. Julian.
Yes.
Do you have any last questions? We'll edit out this little part here.
No. I think that's an excellent intro, or kind of a overview of the product.
Yeah,
I think that was really good too.
So, Caleb Barlow, thank you for joining us on episode 84 of the Taking Notes podcast. And, you know, like always, when we interview, you know, people from IBM, Erica Topolsky's in the background there with her intern, Melissa. And we thank both of you for making this happen. And we really appreciate IBM taking the time to help fill us in and the Lotus community on these new and fantastic products, you know, coming out. Lotus is not just about Notes and Domino anymore. So that's it. Thanks again, Caleb.
Thanks,
and Julian.
Yep.
And Erica.
Thanks, Bruce.
And,
and Julian.
And Melissa.
Thank you.
Oh, they're going to kill us, Julian. Well, that's it. Thanks again, everyone. And we'll catch you for episode 86 real soon.
It's time to check out IdeaJam, the Web 2.0 idea management application for Lotus Notes and Domino that runs on Domino 6, 5, 7, and 8, is available as a simple and easy-to-install application. For more information, head over to elguji.com. That's ELGUJI.com. Get your idea on with the software that may just earn you that well-deserved vacation. Let them know you learned about IdeaJam on the Taking Notes podcast.